Good. Well, welcome again. My name is Carol, and I'm the Director of Children's Ministries here at Blackhawk. Now, on Sundays, most of my time is spent downstairs here at Brader Way. So many of you, if not most, don't know me. So I got thinking, what better way to get to know someone than to have them share a dark, deep secret, right? So here I go. Ready? I am too busy. I wake up in the morning, my feet hit the ground, start running, and they do not stop until my head hits the pillow at night. Now, most of what I'm doing is really good things, in fact, some necessary things. But they get in the way. In fact, they get in the way, my busyness gets in the way of me spending time on some of the most important things, and those are my relationships. Now, I try hard. So I think, I might be fooling myself, but I think I keep my immediate family a priority. But my busyness keeps me from spending the time I should with my other family and my friends. And when I don't spend time with them, our relationships don't grow like they could, right? And sadly, sometimes they even fade away. But there's hope. There are times in my life that I'm a little bit under control, a little bit more so anyways, and I do take time to meet with some of these people. And when I do, we come to the table and we spend lots of time together. And when we do that, our relationship is now growing, isn't it? Because there is just something really special about spending time at a table with people, isn't there? And the more I thought about it, it really has nothing to do with the food, but everything to do with the person you're sharing the table with. So as I was thinking about that a little bit, I got to thinking that there's really a few things that you need to do to make things happen. So this is my new to-do list. First, we have to be intentional to find a time to meet and then actually make it happen, right? Sometimes that's the hardest part. So we're intentional to find a time to meet. And then what's really important is that we get rid of all the distractions. Like when I'm meeting a friend for lunch, I really hope that neither of us is bringing our laundry to fold or our biology to study or our bills to pay, right? We remove distractions. And ideally, we remove our cell phones because I don't know about you, but in my life, that's the biggest distraction of all those little dings, dings all day long, right? So we put everything away. We unplug. And when we do all of that, that's when we can come to the table fully present. I'm going to say those again just because I'd like to revisit them later. You have to be intentional to find a time to meet. You have to get rid of the distractions. And you have to unplug. And then you come and you sit at the table with a person. You talk to one another. You listen to one another. You just spend time with the person at the table. And the cool thing is usually, when you leave the table, you take a little piece of that person with you throughout the day. So I have lots of memories, fond memories, actually, of sharing the table with different people at different times. But there's one that seemed really appropriate for today, so I thought I'd share that. So 20-some years ago, it's a long time, 20-some years ago, my husband, now husband, was working on his PhD in Fargo, North Dakota. And we weren't married, but I moved up there to be with him. I know, Fargo, North Dakota, with no commitment, but it worked. So I moved up to Fargo to be with Paul, and both Paul and I were on a spiritual journey. We had both been raised in Christian homes by wonderful parents, but it was that time in our lives that we were both looking to understand what it meant to have a deeper relationship with Jesus, both as individuals and as a couple. So, wonderfully so, there was a Bible study right there that a professor and his wife did. Their names were Joel and Chris. So I have to do a side note here, though. Whenever I talk about Chris today, I'm talking about this woman named Chris and not our senior pastor, Chris, okay? There's a big difference here. Both wonderful people, though. So this couple held a Bible study that a bunch of us graduate students went to, and it was awesome. I'm embarrassed to admit one of the main reasons it was so awesome was we were all, like, really poor, and Chris made us dinner, and it was just incredible food. So we would really sometimes go for the food. But the reality is that the Bible study itself was better. It was just awesome. And in fact, it's in their house that I really understood who Jesus was. But I still had lots of questions, like lots of questions. And since Chris had become, like, whether she wanted to or not, she had become my mentor and, like, my go-to gal for information. So I usually ask the questions to her. And there was one time I was in my very, very small efficiency apartment, and there was, like, so many thoughts just bubbling in my head. Like, I felt like my head was going to just burst, and I couldn't find answers. So I called up Chris, and I asked her if I could come over early and ask her some questions before the Bible study started. She's like, awesome, sure, because that's who she was. So I go to Chris's house, and we're in her kitchen, and I'm over here sitting at her kitchen table folding cloth napkins. I remember doing that a lot. She was like one of those gals that had cloth napkins. It was amazing. So I'm folding her cloth napkins, asking her all my questions, and she's over here in the kitchen just working hard to create this amazing dinner. And I don't know exactly what she was making, but I remember she was peeling apples for some kind of deliciousness of a dessert, right? So she's peeling apples, and she's got, like, things on the stove top, and I'm quite certain she had stuff in the oven. And she's working to make us a great dinner. And my questions just kept coming, and I think at some point she realized this is relentless and it's not going to stop, right? So she stopped. I mean, it was kind of amazing to me. She just, like, left the apples, left everything that she was making. She wiped her hands on her apron, and she came to the table and sat down. And we talked, and we listened, and our relationship grew, but so did my relationship with Christ. Now, for the life of me, I have no idea what she was going to serve that night, and I know for sure it's not what she served that night. Everything that was going on didn't happen. She might have ordered pizzas, I don't know. But what I do remember was that how Chris left everything that she was doing and came and sat at the table with me, fully present, and she made me feel like I was the most important thing in that moment. And the other thing I remember was looking at her, like, oh, because that's who she was to me right now. I looked at her and thought, oh, I want to be like her someday. And 20 years later, I can stand here and tell you that I am. Once in a while. More often than not, I am not at all like her. I am too busy. I'm too busy to find time with my friends. I'm often too busy to find time with God. I am a lot like a woman named Martha. And that's who we're going to look at today. So go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. We're at the third week in the middle of a series called Intersections, Encounters with Jesus. We're going through the book of Luke, following Jesus as he's journeying to Jerusalem, and we're seeing who he's encountering along the way. And I just want to do another shout out to the incredible art. Between the logo and this 3D version behind me, the artist just did an incredible job giving us an abstract visual interpretation of this. You can see this big center on the end. That represents Jesus. It has now become very affectionately known as the Jesus dot. And from the Jesus dot, you can see his influence. As his life travels across the bottom there, you can see that he's intersecting with each person. And then those people and those lives all intertwine. But because each and every one of them has had an encounter with Jesus, they're all now moving in the same direction. So today, we're going to look at the encounter that he had with this woman named Martha, who was a very busy woman. So go ahead and Luke 10, start in verse 38, and I am going to read the whole section, so just bear with me here. Luke 10, 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." If you look in your Bibles, that is the whole section. It's only five verses, and they're kind of simple verses, but they actually pack a very important lesson for us in there. So we're going to go back and look at each verse individually. So go back to 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, I don't know if you heard what I said earlier, but Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he knows that this is his last trip there. In this passage of Luke, he's on his way to Jerusalem for his pending death and resurrection. So they're on their way to Jerusalem. It says, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. So to get to Jerusalem, you'd have to go through this village called Bethany. And it wasn't a hardship for Jesus because he knew that there was a house here in Bethany where he'd be very welcome. It was the house of two sisters, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus. But during this time in their home, Jesus had a very important message he wanted to share with his followers. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Okay, that's just thrown in there. So this is Mary's, or Martha's sister, Mary. It's her little sister. And apparently, she's just hanging out with Jesus, right? She's just sitting, reclining, listening to Jesus talk. But we'll get to her in a few minutes. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Here's Martha. She's busy, right? And I just have to stop, because if you know this passage, poor Martha always gets a bad rap here, right? She's just too busy, and we think really poorly of Martha sometimes. But what she was doing was a worthy task. She opened her home and welcomed and was hospitable to Jesus and his friends. And we don't know for sure, but there's a very good possibility that was Jesus and his 12 disciples. So, I mean, really, think about it for a minute. All of a sudden, 13 hungry, tired guys show up at your door, right? I mean, that would be really hard. And what she was doing was really important because it was very, it was almost mandatory to be hospitable back in those days. So I think it looks very different to us. So to try to get a perspective, I was trying to think about how this would be in my life. Well, my husband, Paul, that I mentioned earlier, he travels a lot. So it'd probably be like this. Paul was on one of his trips, and he gets to the Madison airport, and he calls me, right? Hey, honey, the plane just landed, and I met this group of great guys on the way, and well, you know, the layover was really short, so we didn't get to eat, and you know airlines and the little peanut packets aren't enough, and so we're all really hungry, so I invited them all to dinner. We'll be there in 20 minutes. Love you! Right? I don't know if I'd be mad, maybe, but I know I would be slightly panicked. But I would have the opportunity to go get takeout. Or, and this might be probably more what I would do, I would probably call him right back and say, yeah, honey, love you too, but yeah, no, just stop at a restaurant on your way home, okay? Bye. I could do that, but Martha couldn't. First of all, there was no such thing as takeout or pizzas to be delivered back in that day. But she couldn't have said no. That would be okay for us in the Western world in 2015, but it would not be okay in the Middle East in 33 AD. Hospitality was so important that you could actually get kicked out of your village if you weren't hospitable. So what Martha was doing was actually a very noble, worthy task. It's what she did next is what Jesus is addressing here. So Mary's context, she's making food, she looks up, and there's her little sister just hanging with Jesus. Continuing in 40, she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Can't you see it? Martha thought Jesus would come to her defense, probably, right? Because in first century Middle East, a woman belonged in the kitchen. The woman was not, it was not appropriate. It was almost scandalous to be with that group of men. Women were in the kitchen. So Martha's probably thinking, Lord's going to get me here. He's going to send her back to the kitchen with me. But he didn't. 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. I'm going to stop here because 41 actually has two things that I think are really cool that I just want to pull out. First of all, it's so neat how Jesus says her name two times. We don't see that often. Now, it's very different than, like, you know, when you're a kid and you get into trouble, it's the middle name that always comes out, right? Like, I don't know what her middle name was, but like, you know, Martha Jane, get back here. It wasn't that. It was that two-name thing, which is usually somebody just gently trying to help you understand that you're just not getting it, right? It's Martha. Martha, you're too busy. You're too distracted. Martha, you're really missing the main thing here. That's kind of the tone of what Jesus is saying. So that's one thing that I think is really interesting about this verse. The other thing is interesting is when we look at another translation of this verse. Now, hopefully most of you know that we're very blessed to have the Black Hawk Chinese ministry as part of our church community. And I do not speak Chinese, but I got some help here from Charles. And this is verse 41 in both the English translation and the Chinese translation. They look very different, but they say the exact same thing. What I want to call attention to is the little yellow character there, and there it's a little bigger. This character is pronounced meng, and it's the Chinese word for busy. But what's really interesting is, as you can see, it's divided into two parts there. The left part means heart, and the right part means death. Heart, death. Now, the word itself doesn't necessarily mean heart, death, but what it does imply is the implications or the sobering reality of what busyness can do to us. I just think that's really quite interesting. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." You see, Jesus did not want a meal. I mean, if you really think about it, he's Jesus. If food was a problem, he could have just made some appear, right? He didn't want a meal. He wanted them. So what did Mary choose? Let's go back to 39. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. Mary chose the one thing, the most important thing. She chose to sit at the Lord's feet, which really, no matter what era, generation we're talking about, that's really at the heart of what being a Christ follower is all about for her and for us. You know, we don't know, but there's a very good chance Mary was in the kitchen with Martha. But at some point, she chose to leave the busyness aside, and she came and she sat at the table with Jesus. Because Mary grasped the privilege that it is to sit at the feet of Jesus. She made spending time with him a priority. Now, what Mary did was also significant for another reason. The term sitting at Jesus' feet or sitting at the feet of Jesus is actually a technical phrase and would have had significant meaning for a first century reader. And instead of explaining it myself, I've got a quote from the famous theologian N.T. Wright, and this is what he says. "In the same way, to sit at the feet of a teacher was a decidedly male role. To sit at the feet of a rabbi was what you did if you wanted to be a rabbi yourself. There is no thought here of learning for learning's sake. Mary had quietly taken her place as a would-be teacher and preacher of the kingdom of God." Jesus affirms her right to do so. We see in Luke's gospel often that Jesus is taking time to teach his followers that the kingdom of God is available to everybody, regardless of your gender or your ethnicity or your social standing. It's available to all. And somewhere, Mary got this. Mary also had an encounter with Jesus and chose to make spending time with him a priority. She realized that the guest in her house that day was way more important than any meal that was being made in the kitchen, right? And actually, when you think about that comparison of Jesus and a meal, there's another interesting thing to look at that I discovered. When you look at some of the words in the passages that would have been read by the original readers, and these are highlighted here in yellow. She, meaning Mary, she had chosen the one thing that counts, to sit and reflect on Jesus' teaching in the kingdom of God. She has chosen the good portion, a figurative reference to the right meal, the word of God. A figurative reference is indicated by Jesus as saying that what she has chosen will not be taken away, a reference that cannot be about literal food. To be close to God and have him as one's portion is to be ready to be taught. Mary, like I said, grasped the privilege even as a woman to sit at Jesus' feet and made spending time with him a priority. She chose the one thing, and so should we. So there you go. There's the lesson of our life. We should be less like Martha and more like Mary and make spending time with God a priority. Ta-da! I know what you're thinking. Awesome, Carol, thanks. I knew that before I even came, right? We all kind of know this. It's pretty simple. We all know this. Most of us want to do this, but it's just so hard to do. And it's usually our busyness that makes it so hard. Like I confessed in the beginning, I am too busy, and that often distracts me from spending the time that I should with God. And in fact, it was kind of humbling, but I kind of realized that my busyness is sometimes actually an idol. I wear it like a badge of honor. You know, when you say, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm so busy, I've got so much to do. I mean, what's that really about? My busyness can become an idol. Tim Keller, in his book, Counterfeit Gods, describes an idol as this. An idol is anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, anything you seek to give you what only God can give. This can be me at times, and this was Martha. Martha had taken a good thing and made it more important than the ultimate thing. I think some of us do that too. I know I do. But Jesus never did. Now, Jesus was very busy doing lots of really good things. In fact, if you look at what Jesus was doing, I'm sure they were way more important than most of the things that keep us busy, right? But no matter how much teaching or preaching or healing or discipleship or sacrifice that he did, Jesus always, Scripture shows us, he always took the time to pray. And here's just one of the many examples. Mark 1. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." I mean, Jesus had a lot of demands on him, right? He was busy healing everybody. I mean, he was the savior of the world and only had a few years on this earth to do his ministry. But he never let the demands of people, the demands on himself, or the busyness get in the way of keeping the main thing the main thing. Jesus never did, and so I'm kind of thinking maybe it's his lead that we should follow. And to do that, at least for me, that usually means that I need to take some time for some self-evaluation. I seem to have to do this often. It's never a one-time deal. Self-evaluation of my time and my priorities. So I have an illustration that helps me. Hopefully it'll help you too. And it'll quench your curiosity as to why these large jars have been sitting on the table the whole time. This is my illustration. And hopefully you guys can see it well. This jar is your life. It represents your life. These beautifully colored little balls represent the things that make up your life or that are part of your life. And this large ball is by itself, it's the biggest because we just learned that God is the most important. So this represents God. He's the most important thing, right? So it's much bigger than everybody else. So I'm just going to put God here so he doesn't roll away. I realize that I'm making God be represented by a round purple ball, but just go with me here, okay? So this is God, the most important thing. These are the things in our life. Now, most of us have kind of things that are a little bit more priority. Family, friends, work, if you're a student, school, maybe exercise would be a good thing. Let's see, your hobbies, going to a concert, going to movies, or playing an instrument, reading blogs, writing blogs, Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter. You know what I mean? Reading books, maybe going to a play, gardening someday soon, hopefully, right? We have lots of things in our life. Our lives are very full. They're beautiful. They're wonderful. They're exciting. This is your life. I'm going to try to represent a few different people here because in a group this size, we're all over the place in our spiritual journeys. So perhaps this is your life and you are somebody that doesn't believe in God. This thing right here isn't a part of your life. Perhaps you don't believe in God at all and you were just dragged here against your will by somebody. Perhaps you don't know, you don't think you believe, but you're curious and so you're here. What I want you to know is you're very, very welcome here. Please keep coming, keep asking questions. You are welcome here. We're glad you're here. But for the sake of this illustration, here's my question for you. You have a great life. It's wonderful, it's fun, it's full. But what happens when your life is over and you've had your last breath? Was this really all it was? Or was perhaps there's something to this one thing? Something to think about. Now, for the majority of us, and this is often where I'm at, my life is very busy, it's very full, but this one thing is a part of my life. I do believe in God. I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and Him alone for my salvation. This is an important part of my life, right? My life is busy, it's full, and Jesus is a part of it, kind of, right? I kind of fit Him in when it's convenient or when I think about it. He's a part of my life, but as you can see, He's only kind of affecting some of it when it's convenient, and He's only partially there. It's like I'm giving God my leftovers. That's busyness. This is Martha. But what would it look like if we were more like Mary? And some of you are here and, wow, teach us how to do this because it's just really impressive. But what if we could all try to be more like Mary? We take the one thing, the most important thing, and we make it the priority in our lives, right? And then we still have family and friends and, what did I say, work and school and exercise and cleaning our house and reading blogs and writing blogs and going to concerts and going to movies and doing your hobby and gardening hopefully someday soon and internet like Facebook, Snapchat, Twitter, all the other ones. There's so many. Pinterest. And actually, because Jesus is a part of your life, you actually are probably doing more, like coming to church and maybe being in a life group. Huh. Look at that. Our lives is just as full, it's just as busy, but now it is so much more rich, so much more full. And Jesus, God, is a part of every part of our life. We're allowing Him to infiltrate all aspects of our life. And this changes things. Right? It changes our attitude. It changes our perspective. For me, it changes the way I relate to people. I don't know about you, but I don't want to give God my leftovers. I want this to be my life. But it's a lot easier to say making it happen in a jar than making it happen in my daily life. It's kind of like everything that's good for us, right? You know we should eat carrots instead of potato chips. We know we should take the stairs instead of the elevator. But it's just hard to do sometimes. It's hard for me because busyness gets in the way. Busyness distracted Martha. Busyness distracts us. But Mary stepped away from it. Mary wiped her hands from her apron, stepped out of the kitchen, and encountered God. And if we want to do the same, if we want to encounter Jesus, we have to do the same thing as Mary did. But unfortunately, we don't have what Mary had. Mary sat, literally sat at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine? She was like right there with Jesus. Awesome. But unfortunately, we can't do that. We try, but He's not there physically. We can't hear Him. We can't talk to Him. I always ask for a little voice to tell me exactly what to do, but it usually doesn't happen, right? It's hard. How do we do this with God? Well, it goes back to kind of like the table thing. You just come to the table to spend some time with someone. You be intentional to find a time to meet, and you make it happen. You leave the distractions. You get rid of all of them. You unplug. And then you come to the table with Jesus. You talk to Him, and you listen to Him, and you just spend time with the person at the table. But this time, the person at the table is the creator of the universe, right? Now, I know sometimes it's hard to know what to do at the table with God. So we've created a few resources, and we invite you to take part in the 2015 challenge if you're interested. So for the whole year, what we're doing is we're spending 20 days a month, spending 15 minutes in the Bible talking and listening to God. For each series this year, we're creating a resource, and the resource for this particular series of intersections is a calendar. And you can print this out online at the Black Hawk website, or there's some at the info desk. The left-hand side gives you basic instructions, and then each day has a passage of scripture that you can read and talk and listen to God about. But this is just one way. There are so many ways that you can connect with God. The key is just find one that works for you. Choose one that works, and then make a plan, and then make it happen. It might mean that you have to spend 15 more minutes in the morning, so you're going to wake up a little earlier. It might mean that you take some time on your lunch break. It might even mean that you take some time at night, a little less Facebook, a little less Pinterest, maybe a little less TV, but it's only 15 minutes. So, whatever you do, just why not today, maybe even right now, just make a plan and just do it. wipe your hands from the busyness and come sit at Jesus' feet. He is at the table waiting. All we need to do is sit down. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, the Bible. Thank you for these five little verses tucked into Luke. They're simple, yet they say something really important. God, forgive us, forgive me for the times that I let my busyness distract me from the one thing. God, please help us. Help us to learn how, remember to keep you a priority. And thank you so much, Lord, for the incredible grace and patience you have for us as you wait for us to come. You are our portion. You are everything, and you are more than enough. It's in Christ's name that we pray, and for his glory. Amen.